Welcome back to the Language of Behavior podcast. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I'm with the summertime Charlie Peck, who I'm guessing is busy but relaxed.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I love what I'm doing. So busy but relaxed. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. And this is your weather because you do not like the winter.
I do not like the cold. I love the heat.
Well, talking about heat, you just came back from a very hot place.
Yeah. So when you talk Vegas weather in July, that's like walking into an oven. So I just,
too much.
No, that's a lot. It's a lot of heat. I am still not complaining. I'd rather have it than the cold.
Yeah. I remember actually we were driving and we stopped and I stepped out and it was so hot that my feet started to sink into the asphalt.
Oh my gosh. Really?
In Nevada.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was a very odd experience, but that just shows you, like you were talking about the oven. So we're doing a lot of keynotes right now. You were doing a pre-conference, part of Innovative Schools.
Yes. Innovative Schools. I've been doing a lot of work for them over the years and they are fantastic. This is a huge conference they do. You guys need to go. You guys have to go next year if you're listening and you want a great one. They put on four great ones a year throughout the country, but Vegas is a great one. Yeah.
Great location too. A lot to do. Yes. Obviously, there's quite an environment there. Yeah. I'm going tomorrow to South Carolina. So I'm going to be doing something with their AAMLE group there for middle level educators. So we're going to be doing the language of behavior with that group. So I'm super excited about that. And then, Charlie, you got any more keynotes coming up? I know you're super busy.
I do. I have another one in July. Well, I have a few going on actually. And I have some in August. And so this is the time. This is the time where there's a lot of leadership conferences and PD getting set up. And of course, August is back to school.
Back to school. And that's probably where this topic comes in. We did a couple episodes ago where we talked about why people lie, kind of went on the background of that and some of the brain and studies that correlate with that. But today we're going to be talking about how do we tell when people are lying. I know, Charlie, this comes up a lot with the parenting groups that you've been working with. Obviously, with educators, that comes up quite often, and administrators specifically, because they're working with a lot of student behavior. And so when we hear this question, how do you tell when people are lying? What are some of the tells that you're familiar with?
Okay. Before I say that, there's some things we have to premise this with, everybody. You can't really tell when people are lying. Like, that is not a real thing. That's a myth. You can know the baseline of what their behavior is, and then we can look from there, which we'll get into. But it's really like a 50 or 54% chance for like the normal person to be able to tell when someone's lying. And then there are people who are like in law enforcement and interrogation. They will still tell you that you can't really tell if someone's lying or not, but you can look for clusters of behavior that go against baseline, their baseline. So we'll dive into that. Now, what are some of the tells? There are some myths around that too. There are some people who say like, if people are avoiding eye contact, then that's when they're lying. Not true. We've got to think of culture. We've got to think of typical baseline. So when people look with their like eye contact and they're really focused on you, that's a problem because then they're really thinking about trying to make that eye contact to listen to what you're trying to say, especially with it has to do with like the how much they blink and stuff too. There's a blink rate you've got to consider. So there are things that we have to consider that we thought we knew that we might have to challenge. Okay, Josh, I know you have experience with this because as an administrator, you worked with a lot of students, maybe adults too, who may have been lying to you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely students and parents, and kind of going back to the why, you know, there was something that they were trying to cover up. And so for myself, a lot of times I had very nervous students coming into my office, regardless if they're guilty or not, if they had a behavior, they didn't, it just was that space. And we've talked about environment, how important that space is to have a conversation, especially a crucial one. And so when you start to question a child in the principal's office, obviously that's going to get them pretty escalated. And so if I didn't know the student, it was harder to tell when they were lying. But if I had a lot of experience, to your point, and had a baseline of thing, I kind of understood, you know, if it's a student that is comfortable with you, you have a relationship with them, they are talking to you face-to-face, eye contact, you know, they have all their nonverbals and cues are typical. And then that changes, then that for me as an administrator is like, okay, that's something's going on there. Right. And a lot of times with kids, they're really good about telling you most of the truth and then just slightly changing some things to make sure that they are removed and are perceived as innocent. And so there's plenty of things, especially when, you know, we had to search lockers or search bags for maybe drugs or weapons, that there were some tells, but that was because we knew the student and we understood, okay, well, them looking down is abnormal. So why are they looking down, right? I don't know if they're lying, but that's something that's changed. Putting their hand on their head or touching their face or doing something that's more of like, almost like in poker. When you're playing poker, you're not playing the cards, you're playing the person. You're trying to find something that is a tell, that's a nonverbal, to be able to understand what they have in their hand. And so for myself as an administrator, I was also trying to cue in on what's typical and what's not. So that way, when something deviated, then I understood that there's probably something going on and I have to dig a little bit deeper to figure out, is it that they're lying? Are they trying to hide something? Is it they're protecting another person? I mean, there's a lot of other things that go on in these situations. It's just a matter of deciphering what that might be. And it's really, really hard. It's not easy at all.
Yeah. And some of those things too, it's important. Like even the eye movement stuff, like it's not a clear indicator that somebody's lying. If they're like looking at certain places, like you said, they might deviate from baseline. There is evidence. And I heard this from the behavior panel. You all have got to go listen to them too. They're really great on this. I have had the pleasure of teaching about this exact topic for 20 years to teenagers. And I love it because I get to dive into the research in my work even now, but I did it back then too. Anyway, like with the eye movements, what we know for sure is that if you look down to the right, you're accessing emotions. There's a connection to emotion, like you're going back to the emotion of the time or whatever that feeling is pulling up for you. If you're thinking about something, then there's some kind of emotion connected to it. Typically, when you're looking down to the left, you're having a conversation with yourself about what to say or to buy yourself time or whatever that is. It doesn't mean you're lying. It just means that's what the person is doing when you're looking at them and seeing where they're going. So you can see if their facial expressions match what they're saying. Remember, you all, our bodies are all connected through a nervous system. So it's really about what your nervous system is showing. If words don't match up with the feeling you're supposed to have behind it, then be careful, right? Then it's like, that doesn't make sense. But that alone will not tell you if somebody is lying. It's just like, I wonder what that's about. Let me ask questions around that now. So we've got to think about the clusters of behavior. We've got to think about the clusters of the stress response in the body. So if somebody's fidgety or like biting their lips or their nails or they're shifty, in itself is not saying, well, that person's lying. And even in clusters, it's not 100% that they're lying, but there's something behind that, which is setting the body off. It's a stress response. Like even when someone's crossing their arms, we used to think that they're closed off. Not necessarily. They might just be comfortable like that. That in itself is not an indication. They're just trying to get comfortable. So there's so much to this. It's fascinating, but it's really still hard to detect.
Oh, for sure. I think the big thing that you were talking about is like the inconsistent details or like how stories are changing or have changed. And so you just really have to be an active listener in those situations. And I was taking notes with that just to make sure that I had the details in case there was a change. And that could be with parents or that could be with a variety of different students. Because typically in a situation where I'm trying to investigate, I'm talking to maybe 5 kids all the way up to maybe 30 kids, depending on how many witnesses there were. Plus, I might be talking to parents and teachers and all these other things. And so I had to make sure that I had all the details in case something didn't line up. And that's, I think, was more helpful than, you know, looking at rate of speech or body language or not providing eye contact. Because you're right, I think we don't think about the stress or anxiety or if the kid's neurodivergent, they went through some trauma, cultural differences. I think there's a lot of things that can make it seem like they're lying, but it actually might be something else that's underneath that, that's causing the behavior that we see, or at least the nonverbal communication. So we just have to be careful with that. I can think that they may be lying based on it. Like your point, it's not definitive.
It's not. And then we also have to be careful about confirmation bias, because if we go into it thinking somebody's lying, our brain will look for that confirmation. We already know the brain does that all the time. So what you tell your brain is what it will look for in its environment to find evidence to support that. So we have to be so careful. So what we can do is just go in looking for the truth, or even better, the facts. What are the facts? because there is truth bias too. So we can go into it. This is the opposite. Like when we talked about this in my class with my senior students, of course, they wanted to talk about like how to catch the person they're dating, if they're cheating on them or not. And I said, first of all, you don't know for sure, but so don't go in assuming they are, but don't also go assuming that they are not, because then you're going to look for things, evidence of them not cheating. So you're going to miss the other things. You're going to be blind to the things. So both biases can lead us astray, really. And it's kind of fascinating. So just go and look for the facts. Go based on the facts. What is the evidence actually sitting in front of you? Here's what we need to go into these situations with, though. Don't go in asking, let's find out if they're lying. Go in there, like just asking, like, what changed when you're listening to them? What changed in their baseline? So that's why we ask questions. When you're doing interrogations, you ask questions first that they can easily answer, that you know they'll be truthful about. Where do you live? What city are you in? What's your favorite color? What class are you in right now? What time is it? Just look at what their baseline is. And then the next time you ask questions, you want to try to more truth around or more facts around. If they shift, it's not the shift that's going to get you. It's the shift that's going to be like, I want to wonder what else is there. Notice if there's a shift and what they're saying doesn't match the feeling or the look on their face and a few other things. So again, it's the cluster of behavior that's important and the change in behavior that's important.
Yeah, I love it. Lots of things to consider for this. I know it's a tough topic, and I know that some folks want like 100%. How do you know if someone's lying? And that's just not how things work. So similar to what we talked about with our book, with the language of behavior, there's always something underneath that. And so we just go more investigation to determine what that is. So with that, Charlie, should we jump into Behind the Banner?
Let's do it.
All right, perfect. All right, so this is a simple one, Charlie. What's one guilty pleasure that you have?
Gummy bears.
Of course, it's candy.
I just love them so much. Oh my gosh. Okay, what about you?
I was going to say coffee. You know how much I have to have that in the morning. Yeah. And when I was working as administrator, I would always use the second cup of coffee as a reward for something that I didn't want to do. And I use that as a carrot throughout my day.
Got it. That resonates with a lot of people.
Gotta make sure that I have some caffeine in my system before I jump into a keynote or hit the conference. So
it's comfort for you.
With that, do you want to highlight anything that's going on in your world in the near future?
I'm just excited about going to these places for a keynote. There's so many great ones coming up, and a lot of people are so eager to hear about solutions and practical strategies that they can use in everyday practice to just improve the way that they feel about themselves, the way that they manage stress, the way they respond to other people. So I'm just excited about this work that I get to do that. What about you? I know you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, July's crazy, traveling a lot. August, just booked something in Kansas. September, just booked something in Minnesota. So, you know, things are coming up for back to school time. This is where people are looking for keynote speakers doing either online or in-person sessions. We also have our cohorts. So excited about the future of those. But for those who are looking for a keynote to kick off your district, kick off your school, make sure you're heading over to thrivingeducator.org for Charlie. And then of course you can head over to my website, joshhaber.com for myself. And we love doing the language of behavior, but we have, and you can see this on our website, it's a lot of variety as far as what topic best fits the needs of your campus or your district. So with that, Charlie, do you want to provide one last note for this episode?
Yeah. Well, behavior is data. Don't forget, it's not a verdict. So we need to look at behavior. Just look at the change of behavior. There's a voice change. They're speaking faster. So there's a rate of speech change that's slower or faster. There's longer pauses. There's different postures, more movement, less movement. There's a lot of different things to look for. So the question is not, are they lying? The question is, what is happening internally? What's going on in there? And ask more questions. Ask more questions.
Yep. Be curious, not judgmental.
You got it.
With that, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you again very, very soon.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.